This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a romantic musical, a visit with a local nonprofit making gains in the film industry, or a celebration with the First Lady of Rhyme, Mother Goose, as a children's theater group turns 20. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A Little Night Music, considered one of legendary composer Stephen Sondheim's best works, opens this week as Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane continues its 46th season. Joining me now to talk about this wildly romantic musical, which takes place in Sweden at the turn of the 20th century, are choreographer Diane Lala and actress Liz Argus. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks. Thank you.
It's a busy season at Summer Lyric Theater, as A Little Night Music comes on the heels of La Cage aux Folles. How do you manage to stage such big works in so little time?
Well, you have to be pretty organized. You have to cast wonderful people. And we really love what we're doing. When Michael Howard and I were discussing the season, and he was talking about the shows he wanted to do, I was just thrilled. I think they're all such wonderful pieces. Actually, they're all about relationships. And then what better composers could you have of musical theater? You know, we started the summer with Jerry Herman. Here we are with Stephen Sondheim. And we'll be finishing the season with Cole Porter. So they're really just some of musical theater's best works.
Now, this work is inspired by Ingmar Bergman's film Smiles of a Summer Night. Tell us the story, Liz, and a little bit about your character for whom the story centers.
Well, as my husband describes it best, I think, Smiles of a Summer Night, it's kind of a love hexagon. It's a romantic farce. It's a sexual farce. It's funny, and it's meant to be funny. But woven into the humor is some of the sadness and the pathos of finding yourself in a relationship that is not working, being paired with someone who is really not right for you, and hoping that there might be some kind of a magical way for you to get out of it. So the story also reminds me a lot of A Midsummer Night's Dream. There aren't perfect parallels between the two plays, but there's this sort of romp that takes place in Act Two, which takes place over the course of a night. It's a Scandinavian summer night, so it's almost as if the sun never sets. It's this sort of endless twilight, and people are sort of running around trying to figure out how they can get out of these dysfunctional relationships. And it's very funny. It's funny, and it's poignant at the same time.
Now, your character is Desiree Armfeld. Tell us about Desiree and what was challenging for you in the role.
She's a seasoned actress. She's been working in regional theater all of her life. She has a daughter who was born out of wedlock, who is being raised by Desiree's overpowering mother, who lives on a huge estate in the country. Desiree has, when she was young, she decided to reject that life and to be an actress, and so she sort of lives the life of a gypsy, a Scandinavian gypsy. She's growing up and longing to settle down. She's been playing the same roles over and over and over again, and she loves her daughter. She misses her daughter. She would like to settle down and have a real home and some stability, a coherent existence, as she puts it. This is Desiree's challenge. And so by chance, she runs into an old lover a former lover from many years ago, but he's also very close to her age. So they're both approaching middle age, and he's unsatisfied with his situation, but he doesn't realize yet that the person he really wants is Desiree. She's got it figured out before he does. And so she has to kind of figure out a gentle way to convince him that he wants to be with her again without bruising his dignity. That's her challenge.
Wow. How do you pull it off?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I pull it off because I get to work with Chris Carey. Chris and I have an emotional shorthand that just makes working with each other very easy.
And Diane, as choreographer, what would you say is your signature touch on this production?
Well, it's funny because, you know, in A Little Night Music, there really isn't any dancing per se. I guess the most dancing happens in what is considered, I guess, part of the overture. It's called the night waltz. So there is waltzing going on, and actually if you pay attention to it, the whole story is actually told in the first 2 minutes of the show, but nobody ever really notices that. It's just these different pairings and why are they together, and they keep changing, and because it's so quick, it's over. The other thing that I've been involved with in the movement is there is a group called the Liebesleaders, and they really act as a Greek chorus, commenting on the different relationships, the different happenings and goings on. I've helped with the movement in that. And then the Act One finale, which is A Weekend in the Country, which is just such a wonderful piece and so complicated musically. It's all mostly musical staging and weaving from one thing to the next.
And Liz, one of the big numbers in A Little Night Music is Send in the Clowns. Are you singing that?
Yes, I am. I suppose if you look at Stephen Sondheim's impact on American culture, Send in the Clowns is the song that every American, certainly born before 1980, is familiar with. It was really his big hit, his only kind of top 40 on the radio hit song. I came into rehearsal already knowing the melody and the lyrics and really not having to work on it musically at all. So what I've had to do is just back up and deliver it more as a monologue and less as a song.
What would you say makes this musical, which opened on Broadway 40 years ago, a classic?
It's operatic and contrapuntal. There's a lot going on, lots of different angles and musical styles
as
well.
I think the different ways he uses the music helps to convey the characters. These songs are very hummable, in fact, which some people complain about a Sondheim musical. You know, I didn't go out humming anything. You absolutely will on this show.
Yes, everybody in my household is walking around humming this musical. You know, one of Sondheim's great geniuses is characterization through the song. He's just a master at this.
So what will audiences remember most from this theater experience?
In addition to the fact that it's going to be performed with a full orchestra conducted by Roger Grodsky, the set is just beautiful. Rick Paul has again created a magical place for these characters to be, and it is truly a wonderful cast.
I think audiences will remember some standout performances. We're very lucky this year that we have New Orleans veteran Lila Hay Owen, who's coming to play Madame Armfelt, and her presence, the way she commands the stage, is captivating. So we're very blessed to have the cast that we have.
All right. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks.
It's always fun talking to you.
Isn't it rich? Isn't it queer? Losing my timing this late in my career. And where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe next time.
We were talking with choreographer Diane Lala and actress Liz Argus. Stephen Sondheim's classic musical, A Little Night Music, opens Thursday at Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane in Dixon Hall. Performances run through Sunday. As film production work pours into Louisiana, a nonprofit media arts group is helping locals access jobs and cultivating a more robust local film community. Writer Ian McNulty, who produces WWNO's Community Impact series, has more.
Louisiana appears on the big screen a lot these days. But whether it's a star-studded Hollywood venture or a small indie effort, it all starts with people in Louisiana getting together and getting to work. From camera operators to grips and gaffers to accountants and attorneys.
One of the things that's unique about filmmaking is it is never a solitary venture. You cannot make a movie on your own. Even the smallest film is a community of people required to make it. So that's what we try to do, is help develop that community.
That's Darcy McKinnon, executive director of NOVAC, or the New Orleans Video Access Center. This nonprofit serves as a bridge for the film industry coming into Louisiana and locals who want to take part. It's an industry that's booming, of course, thanks to state tax incentives that have made Louisiana a top destination for film, TV, and other video projects. NOVAC's work gets into the technical and business decisions that make the industry tick. But NOVAC also keeps a focus on the artistic and cultural potential of filmmaking for Louisiana.
We're dedicated to cultivating the art of filmmaking and local artists in that realm, but we're also connecting them with job opportunities in the film industry because we view them as connected. What is necessary for a really thriving film community is the community, and that's what NOVAC tries to do, is to connect people together, connect people to resources, connect people to opportunities.
So today, NOVAC offers different training programs and events that may be geared towards local indie film directors looking to up their game, or toward a local electrician looking to work on the set. It has a low-cost equipment rental program and can assist local productions with fundraising. There's NOVAC's Ready, Set, Film workforce training program to grow local talent, and a job referral program for producers looking to crew up. Here's NOVAC's director of programs, Ashley Charbonnet.
These productions want to hire locals. They don't want to bring in a gaffer or a grip or a dolly grip or a makeup artist from Los Angeles or New York. They want to hire local because their tax incentive is greater. So we try to train these people who are interested in gaining access, who may have some experience, who may have no experience, who may have experience in an applicable skill.
Lately, NOVAC has partnered with the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation to produce Sync Up Cinema, a film conference held between Jazz Fest weekends while people from across the entertainment world are in town. And this summer, NOVAC is running a youth media camp where high school students will make music videos for local bands.
So we are really hoping that through the influx of resources around the film industry that have been coming to the state of Louisiana in the past few years, we can really harness that to cultivate a sustainable, long-term, local, independent filmmaking community. My dream is that 10 years from now, there is a Louisiana or a New Orleans style of filmmaking and a community of filmmakers that people know about because of this time that's happening right now.
Learn more about NOVAC at WWNO.org. For WWNO, I'm Ian McNulty.
The Community Impact Series is made possible with support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack.
Dear Mother Goose, won't you explain how did the nursery rhymes get their name?
Crescent City Lights Youth Theater is celebrating its 20th anniversary of presenting summer musicals performed by an all-kids cast. The season opens with the 1980s Broadway hit A Pocket Full of Rhymes. Joining me in the studio now is Julie Condi, executive director and founder of Crescent City Lights Youth Theater, and actress Lindsay Reynolds. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Good afternoon.
Julie, congratulations. You know, I can hardly believe it's been 20 years already.
Doesn't it seem like just yesterday when we started and now literally hundreds of kids have been performing on our stages in our musicals? And many of them have gone on to full-time careers in the arts.
What are your thoughts on reaching this milestone?
Well, I guess it's all about perseverance. You know, they say to get to Carnegie Hall, it takes practice, practice, practice. Well, to keep musicals going on at Gallier Hall, it takes lots of perseverance and persistence and just plain old hard work.
You know, I can remember our first interview back in the early 1990s in the basement of a church on South Claiborne Avenue. Tell us about your humble beginnings and when the company was known as Summer Stages.
Well, we got started at the First Presbyterian Church on South Claiborne Avenue. They were interested in an idea I brought forth. I was music director at the church at the time. And so on a very, very small budget, we did our first show, How to Eat Like a Child, with, I think, a cast of 15 kids. And we have not looked back since then.
Tell us how you came to choose a pocket full of rhymes to open your 20th season.
Well, I look for shows that have either not been done recently in New Orleans or new to New Orleans. And a pocket full of rhymes hasn't been done here in many, many years. I'd say at least 10 to 15 years. And I also look for shows that can involve lots of children in our cast. And that's going to reach an age group from 3 to 93. That's going to reach all ages. And Pocket Full of Rhymes just kind of, you know, grabbed me as one that would do all of that. It's paired with another show in August, which will be Children's Letters to God. I thought the two of those together would make a wonderful summer season.
Now, why did you decide to change the name from Summer Stages to Crescent City Lights?
Well, after Katrina, the city of New Orleans graciously allowed us to use the Nord Theater and to recognize the fact that the city was working with us. We thought a name change would be in order, and so we became the Crescent City Lights Youth Theater. And now we're a partner with North Sea, a very proud partner. And we have done 20 shows now. Pocket Full of Rhymes is our 20th show in the North Theater space.
Wow. What can we look forward to in this production?
15 very talented children. It's a charming show. It's a very interesting take on the Mother Goose. And it reminds you of what it's like to be a kid.
And Lindsay, you're playing the First Lady of Rhyme, your Mother Goose.
Yeah, it's great. Well, this is my first leading role, and it's a lot harder than I thought it would be.
You're 14 now, and I believe you've been with Crescent City Lights for 7 years?
I started out when I was 7, and my sisters, they both did it, and I look up to them, so I decided to try it out, and then I just fell in love with it ever since then.
Tell us what being a part of Crescent City Lights has done for you, has done for your growth.
I started out doing Crescent City Lights, then I started branching out and getting into singing a lot more. So I started getting vocal lessons. I've been in a few operas with the New Orleans Opera Association and Loyola. Eventually, I auditioned for New Orleans Center for Creative Arts in the vocal music program, and I got in, and I'm in the academic studio as well. And I think I've gotten a lot more confident being in this program. Just made me who I am today.
That's beautiful. You play a lead role and you have a big solo number, Little Boy Blue.
Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The cows in the meadow, the sheep in the corn. But where is that little boy tending the sheep?
When I first got the song, I fell in love with it, definitely, but I was kind of singing it in a classical manner, and it's kind of jazzy, so I definitely had to bring in my inner jazz and pop voice, because I'm usually used to singing opera during the whole school year, so that was definitely a challenge for me, and I love singing it because it reminds me of opera, but then it also reminds me of musical theater, so it's like a mixture of both to me.
Julie, what are your thoughts as she talks about the qualities that you've instilled in her through the power of theater?
Well, I can tell everybody out there in the audience in Radio Land, I am smiling broadly while I listen to Lindsay.
Yes, you are.
Because she's saying exactly what we hope to achieve with every child that comes through the program. We hope all of you come to see A Pocket Full of Rhymes at the Nord Theater. We want you to have fun. We want you to appreciate the incredible young talent that's out there in New Orleans, because all of our kids are from New Orleans, and to remember for yourself what it was like to be a kid. I think sometimes as grown-ups, we forget. What I love about the show is that it ends with this wonderful production number, One Big Happy Family, so that through the rhymes, through play, we all get to know one another, and we all get along. You can look upon it as the family of kids on stage. You can look upon it as the kids with the audience. I like to look upon it as what my kids get out of this and how it furthers them in life to be part of the big, happy family that we're all a part of.
Julie and Lindsay, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you for having us.
Julie Condy, Executive Director of Crescent City Lights Youth Theater, and young actress Lindsay Reynolds. A Pocket Full of Rhymes opens Friday and runs weekends through July 21st at the Nord Ty Tracy Theater, first floor, Gallier Hall, 545 St. Charles Avenue. More info available at crescentcitylights.org. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. The Ogden Museum of Southern Art presents an exploration of Eudora Welty's life as a literary and visual artist. A panel discussion will explore Welty's life, literature, and photography with people who were close to her and her work. Following the discussion, there will be a walkthrough of the exhibit, Eudora Welty, Photographs from the 1930s and 40s, which showcases her photographs of Mississippi and Louisiana during the Great Depression. Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Ogden Museum, 925 Camp Street. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.